Welcome once again to the SLMA Radio Show. Where today, Laura Patterson returns as host of the Ready, Set, Grow feature, where she interviews C-level executives from across various industries to discuss how they organically grow their companies. These tele programs will focus on revealing the tools and management techniques the guests have used to fuel their above-average growth. Welcome, Laura.
Welcome to the Ready, Set, Grow SLMA Radio Show, where we gain insights and wisdom from members of the C-suite on how to grow organically, the role they expect marketing to play in that growth, and how they will measure marketing's contribution to growth. Thanks for joining us. If you missed our debut episode with Steve Ziggy Shanklin, CEO of White Cloud Security, you can catch the replay on the Vision Edge Marketing website in the recording section. But today, we're excited to be talking with JT McCormick, President and CEO of the newly named Scribe Media, formerly known as Book in a Box, a publishing company that turns ideas into books. Before Scribe, JT was the president of Headspring Software and helped grow it to a multi-million dollar, 100-plus person company, which was repeatedly ranked as one of the best places to work in all of Texas. Founded a mere 4 years ago, Scribe Media has worked with more than 750 authors and was recently ranked in their category as the number two best company to work in Austin. I'm really excited. I am sitting in the Scribe Media digs as we speak today, over in the section of East Austin, which is seeing a huge resurgence. JT has triumphed both in business and personally. He tells his own story in his book, How I Overcame Racism, Poverty, and Abuse to Achieve the American Dream, which tells the story of how he worked his way out of poverty, starting his career cleaning toilets, and eventually becoming the president of multiple companies. JT's journey serves as an inspiration for all of us, and I'm really delighted that he could join us today. Thanks for being with us, JT.
Wow, Laura, thank you. I was waiting for someone else to walk in the room.
Well, I'm really glad it's you. So let's talk about growth. As the CEO and executive for this company, Scribe Media, which I understand changed the name just not even a week ago.
Yes, ma'am.
Where is organic growth on your priority list?
Wow, top of the list. You and I talked about this earlier, especially from an organic growth perspective. So we're, as you said, we're about 4 years old now, and we have no outside capital. So there's no debt, no loans, no venture capital, no private equity. And unlike many companies our age, we're actually profitable. So everything, we believe in organic. So that it's at the top of our list for us as far as growth is concerned.
Congratulations on how far you've come in such a short period of time. And Vision Edge Marketing is similar to you. We believe totally in organic growth, and we're bootstrapped ourselves. You know, we just turned 19, so we're pretty excited about that. Let's talk about the biggest challenges you have found companies face that are focused on organic growth.
I would say the biggest, and especially for us as well, is we do no outbound sales. So everything for us is marketing and having the brand be recognized by others, to where people can read about it, see it. And the way I equate it, and I say this to people sometimes, is you've never seen a Rolls Royce commercial on TV, ever. And that's somewhat with us. You're never going to see a Facebook ad of, come to a book. You know, I can't call Jamie Dimon, the CEO of Chase Bank, and say, hey, Jamie, want to write a book? Either someone wants to write a book, or they don't, and they hear about our brand, they hear what we do, and they want to be a part of it, and they want to do their book with us. But there's no outbound, there's no cold calling, so marketing truly is the driver for our brand.
That's really exciting, and I'm assuming that as part of that marketing would be having a really good customer experience so that you have a high referral rate.
Matter of fact, when I first joined the company, it's one of the drivers that actually brought me here. So I started as an author with the company long before I became the CEO. And I remember sitting with the two co-founders and I said, you all need to put a heavier concentration on the author experience, because we're pretty much a product and a service company. What I mean by that is the service is the author experience and the product is an incredible book. Well, they had nailed the incredible book part, but the author experience was horrible. So now we have them both together. So you have a phenomenal author experience and you have it, you walk away with an incredible book. And I often say to our tribe, we don't say employees, we say tribe. I say to them, we want the author experience to be so great that even if you don't do another book with us, you just want to go back through the experience again. So that's our measurement.
I think that's awesome. And I want to come back to talking about measurement, but you just said something really important that I think is a good segue into my next question. You talk about referring to your team as the tribe, as opposed to employees. So having talked with you very briefly, I'm getting a sense of how important culture is in the way that you run this company. Can you tell us a little bit more about the role culture plays for this company, in any company that wants to grow, and wrap that up with sort of three characteristics that you think reflect a company growing?
You know, culture for us, we hire for culture fit first, skill set second. We actually believe, now keep in mind when I say that, some positions require a one-for-one, meaning you have to have the skill set and you have to be a culture fit. But we're always looking for culture fit first. And that's the driver behind what we do. Matter of fact, our principles and values, we have a public-facing culture doc where anyone can see this culture doc and even comment on it at any given time. But we don't call our tribe members employees. Employees, in my opinion, have become just throwaway to many companies in our society now. So we value our tribe members. And so the culture, the tribe members, those are the leading factors behind what we do. But our number one principle and value is results. You have to drive results for the culture. And you could take this back all the way to the natives. If you were part of the tribe, but you didn't bring in the harvest, you didn't catch any fish, or you didn't help with a kill, you didn't get to be part of the tribe. You were out. And so with us, it's the same thing. The number one driver is still results. But we value results, people, and learning.
Awesome. So, JT, do you think that those three characteristics, results, people, learning, are essential ingredients for any company focused on growth, or do you think there are some other things that are just as important?
You know, you and I talked a little bit about this prior, and I feel that teaching, coaching, and mentoring is a bit of a lost art in the publicly traded companies. Everyone is chasing a number, chasing the quarterly earnings, and so when someone is looking to have a teachable moment, many times it just gets swept to the side because we're all chasing this quarterly number that we have to hit earnings per share. And I say this respectfully, I know it'll rub a lot of people the wrong way, but in my opinion, with a publicly traded company, first and foremost, leadership serves shareholders. Many people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Employees in many cases are third down the list. It's shareholders, customers, employees. And so with us, our tribe is first, right along photo finish with our authors that come in. We value one in the same.
No authors, no tribe.
Exactly. no results, no culture. You know, so it's one in the same. But we have that ultimate benefit to be able to have both.
We're going to want to have a conversation, I think, to going back to where you have marketing as playing a role in the growth of Scribe Media, as well as in the growth of any company that's trying to make organic growth their priority. But before we do that, we're going to have a quick break to our producers.
And we just want to remind you that Vision Edge Marketing works with chief executive, financial marketing, growth strategy, and customer insight officers in the manufacturing, technology, financial services, medical device, life sciences, and transportation logistics industries, pretty much everywhere, facing growth or performance challenges. If that's one of you, you might want to check out Vision Edge Marketing. Their customers rely on their expertise to make more effective and faster fact-based decisions regarding customers, markets, products, and the competition. To improve and prove the value of marketing and leverage data analytics processes and measurement to increase marketing's relevance and ability to deliver greater business impact. Big promise, they deliver on VisionEdgeMarketing.com. You might want to check it out for more. VisionEdgeMarketing.com.
So right before break, we were just having a quick conversation about marketing and sales, and I had said, I've done both, right? I've been on both sides, and I know you have also had the experience of being in marketing and sales roles as you've gone through your journey. What role do you think marketing really needs to play if a company wants to grow organically?
Again, speaking for us, marketing drives the business, be it us doing conferences for professional services, professional organizations. Marketing is first and foremost the number one driver for us. So I believe marketing plays the number one role, especially with our company and not having outbound sales. I understand many companies can flip it around and say sales and marketing first. If they have an outbound approach, they may be the individuals driving the growth of the company. For us, it's totally opposite, and that's why it jumped out for me when you said that, because it is marketing and sales. The better we get at marketing, the more the sales will come in the door and the more calls that we'll have.
So from that perspective, marketing must, if it's the number one driver, has to sort of create and deploy the strategy.
Oh, yes. It's especially with our company, it's built around marketing. Even with our authors, you know, when they finish their book, what are they doing? They're marketing their book. So marketing is throughout our organization, from marketing our own company to helping the authors market their books. It's marketing throughout the whole organization.
So that's a really primary component of the company's DNA.
Yes.
So you've been in a lot of other companies, and you've had the privilege of running other companies. How well do you think marketing does in playing a pivotal role in growth, just in a bigger view?
You know, it again, I'll say it from being on both sides. When I was at the software company, it was more sales driven. It really was. It was us outbounding. It was us going and as you said, going door to door, making those cold calls. It was driven by way of sales. I do feel that we've shifted a little bit in our society where there's so many different marketing outlets from social media and all your other arenas, that marketing, it's fair to say marketing and sales, not sales and marketing anymore. So to answer your question, I believe marketing is the key driver for all organizations at this point.
So if there were two pieces of advice that you could give a CMO today that they could do better is in terms of the discipline in order to drive organic growth, what would those two pieces of advice be?
First and foremost, to make sure that for CMO, to make sure the entire marketing organization and sales organization are all on the same page. You can't have people splintered doing multiple things. What is our mission? What are we trying to accomplish? Who are we trying to speak to? So many organizations, you have a CMO and they're doing just multiple things. And I've even read numerous articles, spoken to numerous C-suite executives, and they've even labeled the CMO the black box of the organization because they aren't quite sure, okay, what's that person do?
We're going to come back to that. What's the second piece of advice?
The second piece of advice is, I would say, to treat your tribe members, your team members, I won't say employees, with dignity and respect. And in many ways, allow them to be who they are, meaning don't try to put everybody in a box and make them work the way you want them to work. You will find that you will get so much value out of those individuals if you empower them to accomplish the mission, but by way of how they best can accomplish the mission.
I understand what you're saying, and if we have time, I'll come back to that. But I want to talk about the first thing that you said about being on the same page. A lot of people talk about marketing and sales alignment, and what I truly believe is it's not marketing and sales alignment. It's marketing and sales being aligned to the company.
Yes.
So it's really not about them aligning to each other. It's about being sure they're aligned to what, back to your point, the mission
yes.
and vision of the company and working together in partnership, not marketing being aligned to sales.
Exactly. Or marketing being aligned to marketing. You see that a lot.
Yes.
I remember one of the greatest fears, insecurities, when I was at the software company, we made the commitment that we were going to spend over $1 million in marketing for the upcoming year, and I really didn't understand it. And we went out and we got this contract CMO, and it was a black box for me to try to understand it, and it was one of the most valuable lessons that I went through. Expensive lesson, but a very valuable lesson.
So let's talk about the black box, because I think that leads us to this next question, and then I want to learn a little bit more about you and let you share some of your story with our listeners. Back to the black box. How do you think marketing should measure its value, its contribution, and impact to growth? So you talked about the Arthur experience, but for the company, how can marketing in any company communicate its value, contribution, and growth to an impact to growth to the C-suite?
I would say first and foremost, have some measurable, you've written books on this, have some measurable goals and metrics. So many times I've heard this with so many companies, marketing will say, well, what we bring is immeasurable. It's not measurable. Yes, it is. Then let's find the measurable metrics. Those are the key for us. So I'll boil it down for how we would do this. If we go to a conference, we know we need to reach X amount of authors to make the conference profitable for us and go from there. Measure what us being there and marketing our service, you can measure that. So I would say for marketing with most companies, give me the measurement. Give me what I can measure that's going to come by way of marketing.
So for Scribe, based on the conversations we've had, hearing like a couple of measures would be right important. One would be your author growth rate.
Yes.
Right? How many new authors have you added? There might also be an author referral rate.
Yes.
Right? Because if they had a good experience, they would become advocates and word of mouth for you guys. So those would be some examples of measures beyond things like how many emails did we send
out, exactly.
How many hoots we sent or
right.
tweets, how many fans, followers, but really something more concrete to the results.
Exactly.
Would that be an example?
That is, you can actually go in and have a conversation about that versus we sent out, 1,000 tweets this month. Okay.
Or we had X number of new followers, or we had this open rate on
right.
email, whatever.
We had 700 likes. Okay. What we're looking for is, how many people were referred?
So we have about 5 minutes.
Okay.
This has been an awesome conversation. I know you and I could keep going on this conversation, and maybe we'll take it offline and do that another time. But tell us a little bit more about you, about Scribe Media, the problems it's actually solving in the publishing industry, because it's a very old industry. It's been around a very, very long time, and your path to CEO.
Wow, that's an open-ended question for 5 minutes, isn't
yeah.
it?
Well, Paul's counting down.
So I tell you what, I don't choose to focus on myself. I'll focus on the company. What we've done for publishing is, I'll speak on this behalf. The way I got to the company was I wanted to publish my book. I have a very traumatic background, if you will, and I don't like to fly. I was on a plane one day, and I hit some turbulence, and it kind of shook me that, wow, something happened to me. My children would not know where I came from. So I set out on this journey of how can I write a book. I got introduced to the two co-founders of what was then Book in a Box, and had it not been for this company, my book would have never been done. So what I realized is what a mission in what we serve. We unlock the world's wisdom. We turn ideas into books. Our measurement each quarter is not how many people did we add to the platform, how much more ad revenue did we bring in, how many more likes did we get. That's not our measurement. Our measurement is we actually get to say how many authors did we help achieve their goals and dreams this quarter. That's a hell of a measurement to be able to say.
It is a hell of a measurement. Goals and dreams this quarter. That's awesome. So we're getting ready to wind down. Have a couple more minutes. You've had an interesting journey to CEO.
Yes.
Right? Because you were actually an author before you became a CEO.
Yes.
But this is not your first rodeo. If you were to give some very quick advice, because in a moment we're going to have to end our show, to someone aspiring to be a CEO, what would you tell them?
I'd say this to someone aspiring to be a CEO, and I would say this as a challenge to all CEOs. Share your mistakes. It's amazing to me that you'll go onto LinkedIn and everyone talks about top five things to success, top three things I did to be successful, Elon Musk, blah, 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 what, so on and so forth. Share your mistakes. We live in a society where we have the audacity to say we learn more from our mistakes than successes, but you rarely can find anyone sharing their mistakes. So I live from the other side of I'm going to tell you the things, the mistakes and the missteps that I've had, and I live by this final thing. You only fail if you stop trying.
It's a really great piece of advice. And you're right. We do learn more from our mistakes, and we should be sharing them so yes. others can benefit from that. So, JT, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
I've got the easiest email in the company. It's JT@scribemedia.com. And I actually do answer all my emails. So
I know you do.
If you want to email me, there you go. Or you can reach me on LinkedIn, either one.
Website converted to scribemedia.com?
Website has converted to scribemedia.com. You can go on there, see our different offerings, select which one you want to go from publishing to joining the company. It's all there for everyone to see.
I'm sure that we have some listeners who are aspiring authors, so I imagine you'll hear from them. With that, I'm going to close. If you'd like to reach me, Laura Patterson, you can reach me at laurap@visionedgemarketing.com. Find me on LinkedIn. Come visit us at visionedgemarketing.com. Until next time, hope everyone is doing really well. Take care.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio with our special segment we'll be running periodically here, Ready, Set, Grow, with our new co-host, Laura Patterson, right here in the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.